So here's the question. In the print and packaging supply chain, how do we deliver new ideas and innovative practices to continually improve your profit, your brand, and your quality? Welcome to the Gamut Podcast, and I am your host, Jeff Collins, Director of Print Technologies for ID Alliance. We are a nonprofit global think tank serving the graphic communications industry with 12 offices strategically located around the world to better support our membership. You can support the Gamut Podcast and content like this by becoming a member at ID Alliance by going to www.idalliance.org. I would also like to thank Konica Minolta for sponsoring this podcast. They are a world leader in industrial and commercial printing and packaging solutions. On today's Gamut Podcast, we have a very special guest. His name is Andrew Horn, and he is a packaging scientist for one of the world's leading retail brands. He has a degree from Michigan State University in packaging, as well as an MBA from DePaul University, and he is the lead packaging scientist for Walgreens Boots Alliance. And I'm sure if you're from the United States or Europe, you recognize the Walgreens brand and the Walgreens retail stores. The Walgreens Boots Alliance is the largest retail pharmacy, health, and daily living destination across the United States and Europe. They have a presence in more than 25 countries and employ more than 415,000 people worldwide, with more than 18,500 stores in 11 different countries. And today we get to hear from Andrew, who works between the creative side, the creative agencies, the designers, all the brand managers, and works directly with the print service providers and other vendors. So we're happy to hear from Andrew and talk about some of the latest innovations like extended color gamut printing. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
To get started, I'd love to have our listeners know a little bit more about you and specifically what you do for the brand that you work for. And that is Walgreens, a very large international chain of retail stores that most of the people that are listening from the United States and some from Europe recognize. And your specific job and expertise is in packaging science, and that's the actual title of your position, packaging scientist. And for some of our listeners that don't get a chance to work directly with the brand and with the parts of the process that create the actual package and all the aspects around packaging, which is not just quality. Of course, we're in print. We're talking about quality and color. We're also talking about flexibility, durability, lots of regulations, especially in CPG, you know, food and beverage and cosmetics and health, et cetera. So go ahead and let our listeners know what you do and what a packaging scientist does for a large brand like Walgreens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so my position, my title is packaging scientist. There's a couple of other packaging scientists at Walgreens that do essentially what I do. My focus is just the health and wellness brands. And then I also manage our PQAs, our print quality assurance program for Walgreens. And that encompasses all of the brands, but each of us packaging scientists have a category of items, mine being health and wellness. Another gentleman's has the competitive convenience. And then we have another person that does the beauty, personal care, and global brands. But within my role, it's a gamut of things. The print quality is probably half of what I do. And then the other half is more packaging engineer work. That was my background. So right. Troubleshooting. But a lot of what I'm doing as far as the print quality piece is working with our brand teams who might be choosing our different brand colors or PMS colors or whatever it might be, and level setting with them on what the printers are then capable of. Or what's going to be achievable? Are we going to need to do trapping on this? Are you going to be able to print a font that small? So it's things that the marketing team dreams up. And then, you know, I might weigh in with my comments. And then if it gets down to it, I'm calling the printers and making sure some of these designs are actually going to be achievable. If I feel like there's a risk that they won't be, you know, that's the role then that I play with a lot of our artwork that we're doing.
Understood. So if I'm a designer for Walgreens or on the brand team and I have a design concept, what do you do from that point? I hand that concept off. What are the steps that you take to, you know, ensure that it's feasible?
So I'll take it back even farther. So our brand team and the marketing team itself, they're much farther back working with creative agencies. They're doing the development of the look of, so before you even start, you know, building what that's going to look like, you're doing a lot of research. So the brand team's working with the creative agencies then to, you know, do eye tracking software, and they do some wild concepts. And along the way, I'm kind of giving them pointers about what's going to be achievable. Because if you remember, you know, we have 2,000 items. So what you do on a bag is going to be different than what you do on a carton. It's going to be different than maybe what's possible to do on an aerosol can. So considering all those different packaging formats, and we want consistency of our brand on everything, I'm going to help them develop the look of the brand while they're going to be choosing everything, and they're going to ultimately be choosing the colors. I'm going to help them weigh in on it. So that's kind of it at, you know, 40,000 feet. And as the brand's developed, then we have like subsets of brands more specific to cough, cold, or allergy, or some of those. And we might do little tweaks within that brand. And within the artwork. So we're working with an artwork agency who's taking these, you know, big picture creative concepts. Now their job is to apply those creative concepts to a subset of brands. So health and wellness, the allergy category. And then we're going to actually get in, and I'm going to start looking at every piece within the allergy to make sure that the concept is executable for each of the packaging types.
Right.
And then at that point, knowing the capabilities of each of the printers within the packaging components. So if you are doing something like EG, I'm going to want to pull out my PMS book and show you, well, this is the color for half of the brand that's not using an EG printer. And then this is that same color, what it looks like EG for the other half of the brand.
Right.
And there is some discrepancy in there, and weighing it out with the brand team to really evaluate if that's allowable, or should we just change the colors? Because look, if we drop down two rows, those are going to be about, you know, to the eye, they'll look about equal.
So, Andy, just real quick, I want to explain to some of our listeners that may not be familiar with the acronym EG. That's Extended Gamut, also referred to as ECG or Extended Color Gamut. So we'll use that acronym, whether it's ECG or EG, that's what we're talking about, Extended Color Gamut Printing, where we're using an additional couple inks. It could be 6-color process. Predominantly, it's 7-color process printing. So we're using cyan, magenta, yellow, black, and then probably an orange, violet, or a green to expand that color gamut, so we don't need to change the press over every time we want to run a brand color or spot color like Walgreens Red or Pantone 186 or Reflex Blue, etc. And so what are some of the skill sets that you need to be an effective packaging scientist? Tell me about some of the backgrounds of the people that you work with on your team.
Yeah, so all of us at this time at Walgreens, we're all Michigan State, you know, packaging grads.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you can't, you have to be a Michigan State grad, but it sure looks that way when we look at, you know, all of us. My director is a packaging Michigan State grad, and then the other three of us all are. So we all have a lot of experience prior to being at Walgreens with CPG companies. And a lot of us, you know, were working with the equipment online, really hands-on sorts of roles. And then Walgreens is definitely a different role. because we do work with vendors, we don't directly manufacture items. So it's definitely much more of a desk job than I think what we were used to in our CPG roles. Really just a background of packaging, because the print quality assurance is just a piece of what we do. But it's a pretty big piece, because the brand is so important to Walgreens, to the enterprise.
And how do you guys know whether or not a particular brand design using a set of, you know, a color palette is resonating with shoppers and buyers? Is there, how do you collect analytics on it and know, you know what, that scheme didn't, we can actually see a difference in shelf purchase?
Yeah. So we queue, especially with the health and wellness, really heavily off the national brand. And also our teams do a great job of merchandising the items, you know, right next to the national brand. Mm-hmm. So your eye's going to be drawn from one to the next. And then we do a lot of, well, I don't personally, the brand team works a lot with, some research companies and things like that to actually, when we are developing those concepts, they actually do the eye tracking software. And a lot of, we get people into, we have a mock store in our building, and we get a lot of consumers in, a couple hundred in, to do in-store assessments and actually watch their shopping patterns, and the research agencies, you know, documenting all of this and recording their behavior and what people go for. And so it is pretty intense, the amount of development work that is done on just the concepts to then get to the phase where we're going to start, you know, building artwork that can then be executable. A lot of research is done prior to that.
Right. And typically, what is the time involved in that process before that gets onto the shelf?
So the concepting is typically starts about a year, at least a year in advance of when we're going to be executing any of the art. So it really depends on how big the brand is. The Vitamins brand is around just over 200 items. That had a little bit shorter, but still that we had been doing research on for probably about 2 years prior to getting together with the actual printer and starting to, you know, make these concepts into executable pieces. The Walgreens brand was a couple years before we, you know, got down to the nitty gritty of executing per item. But smaller brands where it's like 50 items or something like that, it might only be a couple of months of research that's done.
So I'm going to swing back to some topics on print quality and specific color accuracy and color consistency, whether it's four color process, whether it's spot color, or whether it's extended color gamut printing. And what are some of the parameters or tolerances or targets for accuracy that you apply to your critical brand colors at Walgreens?
So we use a Delta E 2.8. And again, the third party we're working with, it's a GMI, an SGS company. But they're doing those evaluations. They have their spectros, you know, they're actually, you know, doing the measurements themselves. But what we're doing just in the concept phase is just pretty much with our eyes. And once we do approve some colors, that's when we'll send in some drawdowns and make sure, you know, things are achievable.
So many of your packaging designs and what goes to the retail shelf may be produced on a variety of different technologies, Flexo, offset, digital, and could be, you know, two color, four color process, or like we were talking about before, mentioning EG or ECG. And do you have different parameters or different considerations for accuracy of color of your brand colors across the different printers or across the different methods?
Yeah, so that's where it gets kind of tricky. Everybody, regardless of your print method, should be hitting the same or within our tolerance, our 2.8, for a particular color. But we know that there's some differences that the eye detects, but it'll still be in that 2.8 range if it is something like EG versus, you know, a Flexo. So some of those do come up, and a lot of times we wouldn't notice it until it's on shelf. So until we've already developed the artwork, released the artwork, it's gone to press, and now we're getting first production samples to review. Some of that does pop up, but a lot of times during the concepting phase, you know, I am pulling out all of the different, the PMS colors and the brand colors, and actually laying them out in front of the brand team against EG when I know that an EG press is going to be used. So it shouldn't shock us. But it, you know, people's memories may forget. So we'll get, you know, hands raised. Why does this look a little darker than this blue or something along those lines? And it's a conversation we have to have. And, you know, remember we reviewed this at time X, and this is what we've agreed to. If we need to change it, I'm going to have to go ahead and get on the horn with one of the printers and see if maybe they can produce something in a spot color, or if there's more tweaks that they can make to that EG color.
Understood. And what are some of the, advantages of using EG? What's, you know, how has that impacted Walgreens' bottom line, whether it's, you know, cost or consistency as far as quality?
So from a cost standpoint, I can't speak to, our sourcing team might be able to speak a little bit better to that point. Basically what it really does, the thing that I notice is how quickly we can get samples and things like that turned around when we are using EG. I deal with, I want to say something like maybe 20 printers that are consistently using EG. And all of those printers that do use EG are really, really good to me and good to Walgreens itself. As far as their understanding of knowing some of the limitations of the colors that they can produce, because ideally, our brand team would want every single color as a spot color. We just know that it's not possible for a lot of our products. So when those do come up and we do have discrepancies between the EG and the spot color, all of those EG printers have been really good to me as far as, you know, sending samples, sending drawdowns of what it's going to look like, and just their speed of doing it, I've noticed, is typically a lot quicker than litho or flexo.
Right. And I think sometimes there may be a perception on the print service provider side that EG may be not as efficient as spot colors. But when we really look at it, when we're changing out a variety of different brand colors, and when they're spot, that takes a lot longer than if I have a static 7-color process set on the press with the standard set of inks. And I can pretty much take any of your brand colors if I have that process controlled. So it's that makes sense that you are getting samples back quicker. The perception from your teams as far as EG and spot color, you had mentioned that they would like to use spot colors instead of EG. And why is that their thought or their thinking?
The thought with the spot color is it can be, you know, in specific to that, well, it's formulated exactly to the color that we intend it. So, you know, like pastel colors, I know a lot of presses, EG presses, have some difficulties with. I tend to just get the team to avoid pastel colors in general. I know they don't translate well from press to press to EG to flexo to litho. There's just consistency issues with those colors. So really just trying to get more consistency is our biggest call to action. And so the expanded gamut Pantone book will give you an indication, but then what I have a printer over here doing versus a printer on the West Coast doing, they might be able to tweak their formulation a little bit differently within their EG setup and actually get it closer to what the standard spot PMS color looks like versus what's in my PMS expanded gamut Pantone book.
A lot of the time, the mistakes that we find in the end of the process or towards, you know, the printing stage after it's been printed or in prep is the lack of pre-flighting or the lack of ensuring that the artwork and the file is correct for that particular process. Can you talk to me about what your role is as a packaging scientist? And how are your teams involved with so many different SKUs and so many different print service providers? How do you handle ensuring that those files are print ready? Do you have standards? Do you have rules? Explain to me how you guys work in that particular area of that file handoff, that artwork handoff to the print service providers through all of these different groups, like your vendors and creative agencies.
So we typically work with one brand or one creative agency that's going to do all the execution for all the files for a particular brand. And we're going to do a series of reviews. Reviews are typically between Walgreens, a couple internal Walgreens teams, and then the vendor themselves. And what we really push our vendors to do, because sometimes we just get the sales guy as the vendor that's doing the artwork review. But we really push them to reach out to their printers themselves. I mean, I can do it. I can reach out, but that is their printer. They're choosing their printers that they work with.
Right.
And having that inside of the printer is really, really going to be valuable to letting us know if it is executable or some of the challenges or the holdbacks, stayaways, trapping, because if it is just the sales guy, he's going to have no idea. We rely on our creative agency too to, you know, we have some standards. I've created some standards around minimum font size and how we build the gradients. Mm-hmm. Our brand has tons of gradients and different things like that. But it then falls on the artwork agency, their last step, you know, doing that pre-flight to basically gather the files, collect the files, we call it, and release it to the printer, to the vendor, and the vendor then sends it to their printer. So we're a couple steps removed. Walgreens is a couple steps removed from actually being in communication with the printers.
Yes.
I'm kind of closing that gap.
Understood. And what is the, from your point of view, what are the most important things as a packaging scientist that you need to be accountable for?
It's really just, I guess, stepping up, raising your hand when you know things aren't going to be consistent. Because I think overall, that's what's really driving our brand managers today is just, and that's why, frankly, the whole print quality assurance program at Walgreens exists is because years ago, if you had Walgreens Red, that was, you know, PMS 186, which it should be, versus 188, and, you know, all over the board. It just doesn't look well when you're walking down the rows, the aisles. So, you know, our leadership at the time had reached out and said, what can we do to get a handle on, you know, some of these colors where it's obviously different, and there was the need, and, you know, the packaging team was hired to kind of fill that void.
Understood.
Start monitoring.
Working in the sector that you're in, and retail, where we're talking about a variety of different aspects of quality. It could, you know, color and image and brand identity is just one of them. Of course, we have, you know, safety and on, when we're looking at things like cosmetics, vitamins, healthcare products. And what really drives you and your team as far as the quality picture? I mean, what moves the team and what is your focus primarily?
So really number one is going to be making sure that I'm making the process easier. I don't want to complicate anything for a printer, for a vendor. I don't want to slow them down. So I don't want them to have to do double passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to avoid cost. So that's one of my number one concerns is what are the capabilities of a particular printer or of a particular vendor to make sure that I'm not, and our team's not unknowingly driving in cost. And then within that, you know, maybe they only do have a 5-color press. So within that, our brand is typically 7 colors. We have the 4 process and 3 spots that we're typically using. What can I do to mitigate cost by processing out different colors? The other thing that I'd probably really pay quite a bit of attention to is then just quality. And by that, I mean products not showing up damaged, or if they do show up damaged, how can I mitigate scuffing or, you know, labels peeling off bottles? And that's more of the you know, packaging engineer side,
yes.
But that's another big concern for a lot of these, especially when we're making requests to change substrates and do things that the vendors hadn't proposed. Isn't the vendors or their printers typical packaging formats? Another thing that was a much bigger issue for us, and through the rebrand, we've mitigated some of this, and we'll see how it goes over the years, but is light fastness. So the lighting in our stores is actually really, really harsh. And I was on several calls with several printers years ago, and vendors about our products fade on shelf and what can we do to reduce that. And well, one of the options is, well, some of the colors are just more prone to fading, but using fade resistant inks, mm-hmm. and just a knowledge for our vendors or printers who have probably never heard that feedback, but it's definitely an issue that we ran into a couple of years ago. And I don't think we're totally out of the water yet, but
how frequent does Walgreens monitor what's in the retail stores for inspection and to ensure that there are no light fastness issues or that, you know, color in general or the product quality in general is consistent across all the different print service providers as well as the different retail outlets?
Everything we do is evaluated once a year.
Right.
That's going to be sent directly from the printer, from the vendor to Walgreens to evaluate it once a year. And then in addition, we're also doing that in-store evaluation quarterly. And that's with, I think it's about 100 items each quarter. And that's just randomly chosen. So, you know, printers can't cherry pick what they're sending to be evaluated in a random sampling.
If you were to list, you know, like the top 3 things that a print service provider could do to improve their sales or to be more attractive to packaging or brands like Walgreens to be able to procure some of the work that you guys have, what would you list as, let's say, the top 3 as far as maybe it's capability, maybe it's quality and consistency?
Yeah. So off the cuff, really, I personally like it when the printers are comfortable enough to reach out to myself or reach out really to anyone on my team or with the creative agency to raise their hand if they have issues. We let our vendors and our printers make adjustments to the artwork after it's released as needed. Mm-hmm. We don't catch everything, you know, the first time. But the more you're reaching out to me, the more in contact I am with you, the more I know about your press, the more I know about how you operate, the better it will be in the future, the better it will be for the current, frankly. So a lot of our printers, I feel like they can only talk to their vendor.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, I would assume as an industry, you know, talking about all us retailers, we wouldn't mind hearing back from the printers directly when there is something that can't be done or you have a better idea for something.
Right.
So we're always open to that. So to be honest, some of our printers do a lot more jobs than other printers for us. And some of our printers are being used by several of our vendors. Those are probably going to be the printers I could rattle off the top of my head that I know and have a working relationship with. Any nominated printer we have, clearly I'm going to be in a relationship with that organization as well. But if you're only doing, you know, five pieces of art, yeah, of, for us, I might not remember your name and I might not ever have to contact you because what you're sending in is fine. And you know what, at the end of the day, if you're doing your job and I'm doing my job in the beginning to make sure that the job is executable for you, you know, maybe we don't need to chat. But if you are working with multiple of our brands, with multiple of our vendors, a pretty good chance that I already have just some relationship based on the number of SKUs we're going to come across each other at some point.
As we're speaking about the importance of communication, transparency, and the relationship with the print service provider, you were referred to me by Jack Frank of MPS West Rock. And Jack is a phenomenal technical resource, very, very experienced. And he's doing the deal for real. He's doing the deal very, very effectively across multiple printing facilities as well as multiple technologies. How beneficial is that relationship as far as your efforts and being effective as a packaging scientist for a major brand like Walgreens?
Oh, man, I couldn't even tell you when Jack and I first got in contact or what it was about. But we've been going back and forth in a lot of emails about a lot of different things. Anything from light fastness to printing a gold or, you know, using expanded gamut. And he's really been a good point of contact and a really great guy for me to bounce a lot of concepts and ideas off of. I need those kinds of people in the industry to, you know, that are more technical and far more technical than me to weigh in on a lot of concepts, because I'm a little bit better, I'll say, than the brand teams at knowing what's achievable, but I'm nowhere near the technical knowledge of a guy like Jack Frank.
Fantastic. And we would love to hear more voices like yours from the other side of the supply chain, the brand managers, the designers, the art directors. So please reach out to us. We would love to have you on the Gamut podcast, and we need to hear your voice. And again, thank you so much, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to the Gamut podcast. If you have ideas, suggestions, or would like to join us or even sponsor future podcasts, simply email me at jcollins@idealliance.org. That's jcollins@idealliance.org. Take care and have a productive day.